This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
We are talking with Lori Gilbertson, former prosecutor, and with Tribeca Blue Consulting. Lori, always love your insight. Kind of picking up where we left off yesterday and talking about the defense of Lori Vallow Daybell and the odd one in a million chance that her defense is able to get her off, would certainly make defense attorney of the year if they were to do something like that. When you look at this, for a while I was thinking, well, maybe they can go down the road of this is someone who's not well. I know insanity is not a defense in Idaho, but maybe they can go down that road in some way, shape, or form. And bring some doctors in and testify and say, yeah, look, this person really shouldn't even be here, but we're trying them because this is how this works. But look at this behavior. Look at this behavior. It's not well. She's not thinking well. The decisions she was making were based on what she thought was a zombie she was killing. It was really her kids. But then all of that got blown out of the water in this last week with testimony and text messages basically showing her complete conscious ability to understand and reason what was going on with her friends and family and kids. It wasn't this always they're zombies. It's obstacles. How can we fix this? And how can we hear a voice in our head that tells us to kill them?
Right. And it's so calculating and it's so manipulative and it's just really cold and chilling to kind of hear and see all those messages and know what's going on and then have that evidence of just what she did to those kids. So I think defense, even if such a defense were, to be objectively successful, let's say the jury does believe she's out of her mind, which she clearly does appear to be in some ways, she still, like I said, had the motive, had the means, had the opportunity, planned things, covered up things. Which really clearly goes against the fact that she was, somehow possessed in some way to kill a zombie. So I don't see anywhere for the defense to go with this. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, the windows that were very small seem to be closed. I don't even know where they're going to go when it comes to their turn.
Right.
I'm sure they're going to do something. It's their job. They're going to have to try something. Otherwise it could be brought back on appeals and say, well, I didn't have, good enough representation.
Well, you're as a, defense attorney, I think most defense attorneys, especially in a case like this, are going to be thinking about, can an ineffective assistance of counsel claim be raised afterwards? Meaning, did they really rise to the level of doing everything that they needed to do in their job representing her? And she does not have to put on a case. They can be very effective counsel even without putting on a case. They are cross-examining witnesses. They are trying to poke in little holes of doubt where they can. And granted, it's very difficult, but just because it's difficult doesn't mean that they're not being effective in actually doing what they need to do. So, I agree with you. I think that the only witnesses they may be calling might be whatever the court would allow. As to her mental state, I just don't know where that gets them in this case.
Yeah, either do I. I mean, when we look ahead now to Chad's trial upcoming, there's not a date yet, but hopefully later in the year. Right. How open and shut is that one going to be that we've seen all that they can bring out here?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we've gotten a really good preview through Lori's trial of exactly what we'll get on Chad's trial. And the same thing, the same kind of storytelling that we talk about. This is a compelling story, and it's going to be just another one for Chad's trial with all of the physical evidence to support it.
One of the things I think it's hard to wrap my mind around, and I'm sure some others are feeling this way, is you look at somebody like Lori. And it's hard, I think, to accept that someone like that exists if they are cognizant of what they're doing. It's easier to walk away and go, she's nuts. There's things in her that they just are not clicking right. But she seems very calculated on everything she does. So I don't know that she's necessarily nuts. Her thinking is evil. Yeah. Her thoughts are horrible and what she's capable of doing for her own good. But I don't know that she's necessarily crazy. I mean, it just very calculated and completely out for her, I think, is what we're actually looking at here. now that we've gotten a much clearer picture of what this is.
Well, that is what a narcissistic sociopath is.
Yeah.
Right? And very clear, very calculating, very selfish, and very out for themselves. Whether that is, you know, I'm obviously not any kind of doctor to diagnose her, but, you know, through her actions and through the experience of things that I saw in my years as a prosecutor, that, you know, that really does exist. Mm-hmm. And it can be an incredibly eye-opening thing when we look at a lot of the cases I know that you cover, Tony, and a lot of the true crime that we listen to realize that these are real people.
Yeah.
You know, they are stories. They are interesting stories. You know, that's why there's, you know, so much of this out there and why we talk about it. But ultimately, these are real people. And these are our real children, you know, who were killed. And this is reality for this whole family. And that people like Lori Dingell really do exist. People who are evil enough, calculating enough, manipulative enough to murder their own children. And that's something that, you know, can be really difficult to just kind of take in. But it is the way of this world. And it is for real, and it does exist.
I think it's scary because sometimes it makes us look introspectively at ourselves, at those around us, at people that we've interacted with throughout our lives. And sometimes to get through life, you may tell yourself stories maybe about a loved one or this or that, like, well, they're kind of like this. They're kind of like, they're sort of narcissistic. They're sort of, but we never think they're capable of doing things like this. I think it's scary because it shows a world, or it exposes a world where maybe there's far more people who are capable. They just don't act it out because they know the consequences. But maybe just as cold and calculated and self-centered as someone like Lori. And it's scary for us to look in our own world and go, well, maybe that person's kind of like that too. And as we try to, you know, put a little bit of sugar coating on everything where maybe there doesn't need to be.
Yeah, it can really be eye-opening and, like you said, kind of scary. And you know, when we do look around, you know, there's this saying, right, that truth is stranger than fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it's fiction, it kind of has to make sense. Mm-hmm. You know, you read a book, you see a movie, you know, listen to something, it kind of has to make sense. And the ends kind of, you know, everything needs to be tied together. But when it's the truth, it doesn't.
Yep.
And so we look at something like this trial and it's not going to make perfect sense. And it's going to be a little bit mind-boggling. And, you know, as the prosecutor in this case, you know, that's your job to really make this palatable to a jury in that way, with all of these, you know, factors and really intense emotional things that come up when seeing all of this evidence that is not fiction, that is actually real.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Lori Gilbertson, thank you so much for your insight into the ongoing trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. We, of course, have continuing coverage for you right here, including courtroom audio every single day. I'm Tony Bruschi. You can follow me on Twitter @TonyBPod. Stay with us.